guys. I'm so excited to be able to start our year of high school ministry together. A special welcome to our ninth graders. Welcome to the big show. This is it, guys. This is the pinnacle of all Christian ministry. This is what you've been waiting for your entire life. We're so thankful you guys are here. I'm really thankful that so many of you are here, maybe for the first time. Maybe a friend invited you. Maybe a family member brought you. Either way, we're so thankful that you would take a Friday night and you would spend it with us to be able to learn what it means to follow Jesus, how we can live the Christian life together. And this evening, I want to keep things really, really simple. And I really want us to think about what it is that God wants for us during our time together in high school ministry. We have a long year ahead of us. I know most of you just started school and you feel as if the year is just going to go on and on and on and on. But that also means that for youth ministry, our school year is just getting started, and we have a whole school year together to be able to grow and learn and have fun together. And there are lots of things we're going to look forward to: retreats, activities, hangouts, games. But more than anything, we have to ask ourselves, what is it that God wants for us in this opportunity that we have to be in high school ministry? And so really, really quickly this evening, what I want to do is I want to look at a passage of scripture that my guess is that if you've been in the church for a while, you know, but we're going to look at Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 39. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 39. And just to let you know what's going on in the story, this is the week before Jesus' death. And if you know the story, he came into the city, Jerusalem, on Palm Sunday. Everyone loves him. They're super pumped to see him. He's running around on the back of a donkey. People are flipping out. They're throwing palm leaves at him. And they're screaming, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They're excited that the king has finally arrived in Jerusalem. But not everyone is excited. There are groups of people, leaders in Jerusalem, who hate Jesus. And they're resentful of him because he's become so popular. And it's not like they could just like hire a sniper to take him out. So what they do is they try to undermine him, and they try to discredit him and make him look foolish in front of all the people. And so there were two different groups of people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they're trying to ruin Jesus by asking him all kinds of hard questions. And if they can ask him questions that he doesn't know the answer to, then maybe he'll lose influence over the people, right? You guys ever done that with your teachers? You try to ask them a question that's so hard and make them look foolish in front of the class. That's exactly what these leaders are trying to do with Jesus. So they ask him question after question after question, but Jesus answers all of them. And Jesus doesn't look like a fool. It's the Pharisees and the Sadducees that look like a fool. And then we get to a very interesting question in Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. So when it says that he's a lawyer, it means that he's an expert in law. And not like, oh, you know, is this against the law to, you know, cross the street, you know, with your donkey when the light is red? That's not the kind of law that he was interested in. It was the law of God. It was the Mosaic law. This guy had studied the Bible his entire life. This is the kind of person who would have been at temple regularly, who knew all this stuff, but he still didn't know this most fundamental question: what is the most important thing to God? Do you know the answer to that question? You have a lot of things that you're looking forward to this year, a lot of things that you're already thinking about that have to get done this year, things that you're excited for, you're planning for, you're going to be investing in. But when was the last time you stopped and asked, what does God think is the most important thing? What's God's priority going to be for me as I'm starting out high school, as I'm starting this youth group year? The Pharisees used to argue about which of the laws was the greatest and which one was the less important. It's kind of like those guys who argue about who's better, Kobe, LeBron, or MJ, right? And it just kind of goes around and around and around. They're always arguing about this stuff. And this guy wants to drag Jesus into the same debate. What do you think is most important to God? What does God think is most important? And here's where you and I come in, right? Youth group is awesome. I love youth ministry. I love being here with you guys. And there are tons of great things to enjoy. But we don't want to be like this tax collector and just start off youth group not knowing what is it that God really wants for us? What is going to be most important to him? And so let's look at Jesus's answer. And hopefully we'll see what it is that God says will be most important for us as we start our youth group year. It's going to be really simple. is going to be to love God and to love others. Matthew 22, 35, 39. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And before we go any farther, let's pray and ask for God to help us as we briefly look at this passage. God, I'm so excited and grateful for my friends here and their willingness to come and sit under your word this evening. So I pray that as we look at it, we wouldn't just see words in the page or words that seem so familiar to us, but that we would hear your very heart, that we would see what is important to you and precious to you. And we ask by your spirit that what is important to you would be important to us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So Jesus' answer to this question of what's the greatest commandment is a simple thing. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. He says, all of scripture, all that God wants for you can be summed up in this. Everything about your school life, everything about your family, everything about your relationships here at Lighthouse, all of it can be summed up with God wanting you to love him with all that you are. But if you were to come up with a list of the things that you thought would be important to God, like the things that come to mind for me are like going to church, being a nice person, listening to your parents, doing well in school, right? It's the stuff you do. It's the Bible verses you read, the prayers you pray, the people you evangelize. It's all the stuff that you do. But Jesus is saying that the thing that's most important in the life of a Christian is not the stuff that you do, as important as some of that stuff is. It's who you love. Do you actually love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Are you enjoying a relationship with him? Are you delighting in him? When you think about him, are you just thrilled at who he is and how he relates to you? Because you can be doing all kinds of Christian stuff and yet have no love for God in your heart. Right, Jamie, my wife, loves having a clean home. And I'm so thankful for all the work she puts into making sure our house is running well. And she wants people, you know, in our household to chip in and to be helping with chores and picking stuff up. We had a long conversation about this last night. And on one hand, I could say, well, you know what we're going to do is we're going to hire a youth. You know, this is now your responsibility in youth ministry. Each of you is going to be on a schedule. You're going to come to my house and you're going to pick up laundry. You're going to do dishes. You're going to be weeding. You're going to be taking out the trash. It'll be great. All the things that you need to get done are going to get done. Maybe she would be thrilled at that. I don't know. My guess is she'd be a little disappointed because more than just having someone around to just pick up the trash, what she wants is for those that are close to her in her life to know that this is what thrills her, this is what helps her, this is what is a blessing to her, and to do what is helpful in blessing her. She wants someone to love her, not just someone to do stuff for her. And I think God feels the same way. He doesn't need you to do stuff for him. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He created the entire universe. He doesn't need you to do more stuff for him. He wants your heart. He wants you to love him. So how do we do this? How do we love God with all that we are? The first is to actually believe the gospel. The first thing you need to do is recognize that you don't love God with your whole heart. You have sinned against him. You've loved and pursued other things other than God. But because Jesus has died for us and was raised from the dead for us, we can actually have a transformed heart that can begin to love God. You can't just look at someone and say, you know what, I'm going to decide to love you and just muster up all these feelings for you. It takes a change of heart. And only God and the gospel can do that when we didn't love God with all that we are. We have to believe the gospel. And then once the gospel transforms our hearts, what do we do to actually grow in love with God? You got to do all the same things that it takes to grow in love with any other person. You spend time with him. You get to know him. You understand what he's like, what he does like, what he doesn't like. But it all comes down to knowing him so that you can love him. You cannot love someone that you don't know. And so I want to suggest a few different ways that we can spend our time together in high school ministry loving God. There are the infinite ways that we could do this, but just I want us to think about how it is that we as a high school ministry, how can our time together be conducive to us loving God together? One is to be here regularly. Like, you guys are so busy, and the school year is so busy, and I know that all of you guys have marching band and sports and, you know, Boy Scouts and all kinds of stuff that you're working through, and I understand how busy life can be with wonderful things, but I really want to encourage you to, as much as possible, make it a priority to be here regularly, to be with the people of God, to sit under the teaching of God's word, because these are the things that will help us to love God. You can pray. Just pray, asking that God will help you to use your time in youth group to love him more. Like, when was the last time you prayed before coming to youth group, asking for God's help? Or did your parents just tell you, oh, it's time to go, and you just jump in the car? No, if loving God is a matter of the heart, then God needs to change our hearts. And he can only do that if we're coming to him humbly in prayer. We need to sing. We need to remind ourselves of the truth of who God is by singing these awesome songs that our worship team leads us in every Friday. We need to listen to God's word humbly. You know, by God's grace, we get to be in so many different settings where we get to hear the word of God preached. We get to study it together inductively. We get to talk about God's word together. And you guys, at probably your age, for many of you, have sat through more sermons than you can count. And if you're kind of like me, you can kind of start to tune out and say, dude, I've heard all this stuff before. In my vast 17 years of experience, I think I've exhausted everything there is to know about the Bible. There's nothing more I could need to know. There's nothing new you could teach me, Pastor David. But I want to encourage you to come to God's word humbly. Because when the word of God is opened and someone is explaining it to you, this is how God speaks to us through his word. And so come to the teaching of God's word with humility. Expectant, not just to learn something new, but as something new about your heart exposed. So examine your heart. Don't just say, well, I knew that before, but is there an area of your life, a part of your life that needs to be confronted by the truth of God's word, even an old truth that you've heard for a long time? Do you have a humble heart, a posture in your heart that wants to receive God's word? And the other thing to consider too in how we can love God together is involve other people, talk to other people, ask other people to have insight into your heart. Like, we'll talk more about this in the next point about how we can love one another in youth ministry, but we need one another to remind ourselves how we can love God better. I have a feeling that for many of you, maybe some of you are hitting this point in your life where you're thinking, you know what, I feel like I've kind of arrived. There's nothing new for me here at youth group. I'm doing it for so long. And can I tell you that because God is an infinite God, there is always going to be something more and more and more incredible and beautiful to know about him. Don't shortchange God. Don't underestimate the beauty and infinite complexity and wondrous nature of who he is. If you show up with a humble heart that is ready to see him, you will love him more. That's what God wants, is for us to love him. The other thing that God wants for us is to love others, right? Jesus says that a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And it's not like Jesus can't count, right? You know, the guy said, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus, oh, there's two of them. You know, it's not like he's giving some kind of trick answer. What he's saying is that if you love God, it will inevitably and inextricably lead to the fact that you're going to love other people. The two ideas are intimately connected. You can't have one without the other. And so if we are to pursue what God wants in high school ministry, it will be that we love one another and love other people. This means that you're going to live all of your life for the good of others. Okay, everyone take a quick look around you. Just look at the people in this room. Super awkward. Just long, prolonged, you know, eye contact with someone. Yeah, that's the key. So do you realize that what God wants for you to do while you're here at our youth group is to love every person here? Is to walk into the room and tell yourself, I'm here for that person's good. I'm here for their benefit, for their blessing, so they can see Jesus more clearly. That's why we're here together. It's not just here, you're here to see your friends and hang out and do the stuff you think is fun. It's so you can love others and point them to Christ. So how do we do this? How do we grow in love with people? Actually, is there another copy of the handout lying around somewhere? Do we have any extra copies? Thanks, Nate. I think my iPad did not save properly. Okay, so here's a few ideas. Thank you, Nate. Love your small group members. Okay, love your small group members. So in a little bit, we're going to split up into our small groups. And especially for those of you who are in ninth grade moving up, we do things a little bit differently in high school. We mix grades. Okay, so I know that in junior high ministry, the small groups are divided up by grade. But in high school ministry, we mix everybody up. And part of the reason for that is because you're at the season of life where it's really important for you to develop relationships with people who are outside of your age range. And it's something that we see as really important as part of your growth as a Christian. Now, some of you ninth graders are really disappointed. I heard there were some ultimatums. I received some ultimatums, like, we will not come to a youth group unless you keep us in the same small group as the friends we've had since we were in second grade, you know? And sorry, you know, we're going to do what we're going to do. And look, you're here anyway. Okay. So you're going to be in small groups, maybe with people that you don't know, that are in different grades, different seasons of life. And I want you to encourage you to see this as God's providence for you, that this is who he wants you to love. And so don't come into this thinking, well, I already have my friends. I already know who I want to talk to. Or maybe you're new here and you don't know anybody. God is going to place us in these small groups as an opportunity to love one another. And so that means that we should be able to say hi to anybody, to ask good questions of anybody. I really don't want it to be the case that someone could walk into our youth group, kind of go through the whole evening, and have no one say hi to them. At the very least, in your small group, if there's someone that's new, I really want you to go out of your way to make them feel like they're part of this family. So love your small group members. Second, serve lovingly during youth group. Serve lovingly during youth group. So there's going to be lots of opportunities for you to love everyone in youth group just by helping in different ways. So that something as simple as like handing out notes, handing out pens, super helpful. Like when we have small groups and we divide up and you take the chairs and you kind of make them all crazy and stuff like that, it is really loving to everyone else in the group if you can put the chairs back, you know, in the right way. There's pieces of tape on the ground that will kind of mark out where the tables go or the chairs go. At the end of the night when we have snacks, right, like, we're going to have tables and garbage and all kinds of stuff. And inevitably, at the end of the night, there's always some poor staffer who's like covered in sweat, like lugging garbage out, you know. And we really want to encourage you guys to love the youth group by just finding ways to help. And so one phrase I would love to hear at youth group this year is, how can I help? How can I help? So if you're bored and you don't know what to do, just walk into someone who looks like they're busy and ask them, how can I help? Serve one another in this youth group. We also want you to serve others outside of youth group. Okay, so you guys are in high school ministry, but that means you're part of this church. So are there ways that you can serve our whole church family? You know, being part of, you know, ushering, children's ministries, even the worship team. We would love for you guys to find ways to serve outside of youth group in our whole church. So we're starting off a new year in youth ministry. I'm so excited. And maybe for some of you, you are excited like me, and some of you guys are thinking, it's just another year, another Friday. And it can feel really routine. It just feels like you're kind of getting on the youth ministry treadmill one more time, and you're just kind of going, going, going. But the thing about treadmills is that if you just decide to get on a treadmill and stand still, you won't actually be standing still. Like you're always moving on a treadmill, right? And so if you just decide, you know what, I'm not going to work anymore at this thing, you will just fly backwards off this treadmill, probably concuss yourself, and it'll be hilarious for the rest of us, not great for you. No, in order to even just stay where you are on a treadmill, you have to keep walking. And if you actually really want to make progress on a treadmill, you have to actually run. And for some of you guys, you think about your relationship with the Lord and where you're starting off this school year, and you think, yeah, I don't know, I'm just kind of in the same place I was all summer, didn't really do anything. You know, I feel like my relationship with the Lord is kind of stagnant. I'm just kind of stuck and standing still. Our relationship with the Lord is like being on a treadmill. If you decide to just stay still, there's really no such thing. you're just going to keep falling backwards into sin, into temptation, into a more distant relationship with him. But coming to youth group, being part of the family of God, reading his word, praying, availing yourself of the pathways of grace, this is how we take steps on the treadmill to just continue to press forward into loving God and to loving others. And so I'm really excited to hear and to see how God is going to use our time together to accomplish these two things. Wouldn't it be wonderful at the end of the school year to be able to say, you know what? I love God more. And I think I love other people more too. And if you can say that at the end of this year, then praise God. What an incredible year that would be. And so for all the things that you hope that this year brings for you as far as your family and school and ministry and church, may that be the thing that's most important to you, because it's most important to God that you love him and you love others. Let's pray together. God, we ask that you would be with us as we split up into our small groups. Help us to love one another, to love you, and to anticipate all that you're going to do this year. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.